SM Central, the Midweek Masterclass. The boys from the mailbag on RSN Central.
Jack Dickens, Mark Rode and Peter Athanas join us here on the Midweek Masterclass. Thanks to the mailbag team. I'll go to you first of all, Pete, with this big breaking news out of the West this morning that William Pike will be leaving WA to compete in New South Wales. What was your first reaction when you heard the news, Peter?
Well, I approach racing as an owner and as a punter, Gareth, and the first thing I sort of thought was, you beauty, like all of a sudden as an owner, you're not going to have Pike on some cerise and white, well-bred machine running you down in the final strides. I think the number of times it would have been nosed out by Pike over the years would have been immeasurable. And look, all it means as a punter is that there's all of a sudden a huge vacuum. This week in particular, there's no Pike as he's suspended and Chris Barnum's on holidays. So all of a sudden you're looking at what Clint Johnston Porter is the market elect, I would imagine, on a lot of horses. So it's a very interesting little state of play. And look, for any second-string jockeys in New South Wales or in Victoria, if you'd like to maybe dip your toe into perhaps a little bit of a bigger pool, if you've been riding provincially, why wouldn't you have a crack at coming over to WA?
That's a very good point you make. I didn't think about that. I'll get your thoughts, Dicko and Mark, maybe on a jockey in New South Wales or Victoria that could ring up Mr. Peters and say, Bob, I'm ready to go to be your number one rider. But, Mark, how do you think William will go in Sydney? Because it wouldn't be an easy jockey's room to break through and climb up the ladder there.
Yeah, I'm pretty strong on this. Strike rate's the one thing, but I think one of the best ways to measure jockeys is look at the strength of the opposition they're riding against. And in Sydney, he's going to find that opposition to be immeasurably stronger than what he was up against in Perth. Now, that's not to say he won't make it and won't break through. But he took a while to settle when he had that stint in Melbourne a couple of years back, or 18 months ago, whenever it was. Some of those default rides he gets away with in Perth, he will not get away with in Sydney, put it that way.
It's all about opportunity. So what stables do you think Pike can really get opportunities with? Obviously, Team Hawks are big fans of his, but they're not necessarily a stable that can actually put you on the map, are they, really? They're more of a boutique type of stable, Mark.
But they certainly are in New South Wales. I'll give him his chance. I think he's got to try and get into the Waller rotation because he's quite clearly the one who dominates the scene. And look, McDonald's number one, but all those top guys, Bowman and Berry, and all of them do their share of riding for Waller. If he can get in that rotation, that'll probably be the quickest way to establish himself.
It'd be interesting to see how he goes, Jack. If you could recommend to a jockey at the moment in Melbourne or even in New South Wales that might want to give Mr. Peters, Bob Peters, Uncle Bob, a call to say, mate, I'm ready to go, who do you think would enjoy an opportunity like that?
Maybe Ben Miller might like a sea change. He'd dominate over there. He's a pretty high-level rider here. He's going to come back pretty hungry. It's going to be a huge opportunity in Perth. But I can't believe they've let Pike go to New South Wales. I think it's wrong with the rules everyone else has to follow. And I can't believe, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of Novak about this, because once the news drops and they start to listen a little bit to the uproar, like if I'm riding in Sydney, I don't want him in there. Would you?
Well, we just had Tommy Berry to get his point of view. He says rules are rules and he'll accept William, but he did say that I think a few of his colleagues would be a little bit upset that William is heading to Sydney to compete, that be riding against William that he's not vaccinated. So I think that's going to be the most interesting part.
I don't think they'd be worried about riding against him.
Hey?
I don't think they'd be worried about riding against him, just like the health risk that that's why he's not allowed to ride in Perth, because he's a danger to other people because he could carry the virus. He's more likely to than other people. I just wouldn't want him around me because I don't want to catch the virus. I don't want to give it to my dad or my mum. But I reckon he's going to get a big slap in the face because Sydney's tougher to win at than Melbourne is, and he struggled here big time, and he had a big couple of days during the carnival. So good luck to him. But get the needle, William, please.
If you're Bob Peters, would you give the number one job to Clinton Johnston Porter or Chris Parnham, Pete? Or Patrick Carberry?
How can you argue with what Paddy seems to do every year? I mean, like, look,
don't
he
sit on the fence here,
during
Pete.
The year. Oh, I was just going to say, he goes through those phases during the year, Paddy, where you just get back him and you just think, oh, God, that just wasn't a great ride. And then every spring, it seemingly, he turns up and he rides, a blinder in one of the feature races. It's just seems to happen year in, year out. Look, I think Clint Johnston Ford would be the number one selection, but he still has a very strong allegiance towards the Durant stable, and maybe he might not want to. So, look, there's certainly going to be a few cogs in motion, not to even mention the fact that Bob's going to have different trainers, and Grant and Alana Williams are possibly not going to be one of them full-time. So
they're not having many runners at all at the moment, are they, Grant and Alana Williams?
No, not a whole heap. And I think there's going to be a few of them that are going to be changing stables. Obviously, there's a few going over towards Victoria as we speak. But, look, it's still a lot to play out here over the next 6 months or so.
Hey, Dicko, well done. You purchased one horse at the Gold Coast sales. Have you seen it? Or two horses. Tell us about them with the Mailbag Bloodstock.
Yeah, we got ourselves into half of lot 805, which is a Schnitzel filly, a half to Sophia Rose. That's sort of a more expensive horse for us, a bit more than we sort of intended on paying, but I thought she might go for a million. Like, this horse has residual value, obviously. Like, Peter just looked at the page and said yes. So we've got her, and then yesterday, Shane just grinding, Gareth, as you can imagine. He was still going yesterday around the sales grounds. We got ourselves into lot 982, which is a Vancouver filly, tidy little thing. We paid 55 for her. So we go through the process now of getting a PDS. And if you're interested, head to themailbag.com.au/bloodstock.
Who are your trainers?
I suspect the 55, Kieran Ma.
Okay.
Both.
Steve Ma and David Eustace.
They've won two of the last three Magic Millions, so you pretty hard not to.
William Pike, right, if he's available? I can't get into Queensland, can you?
Yeah.
No.
That's
one thing, Parky.
I'm surprised he's not headed up there, though. They would have been the loosest with the vaccinations, in my experience.
All right, lads, we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll have a look at your staking plans for our Metro meetings. Tomorrow afternoon, they're racing at Sandown in Victoria, Newcastle in New South Wales, and Belmont across there in the west. Gareth Hall, Jack Dickens, Peter Athanas, and Mark Roden with you for the Midweek Masterclass. We might start with horses to follow, and we'll start off with you here, Pete.
Look, not really saying anything that no one else with eyes would have seen on the weekend there, Gareth. But Billy Axilly and Trips of the Trade, Colin Webster, have both returned really well this preparation. Trips of the Trade especially, I think if you follow her going towards a three-year-old classic race, or I think it's the Breeders' race that would have been at Bunbury, I think that's going to be run at Ascot, so that's probably a good target for her there. But Miss Kentucky versus Clairvoyance was fascinating. Clairvoyance is obviously choked down and in the straight, the tongue over the bit. Still run pretty well to what I've got in terms of the data, but Miss Kentucky's now equaled her, and they've both produced performances that would win group ones. It's just a matter of where they're going to. I believe Simon Miller's going to keep Miss Kentucky here short to medium term, but could well and truly make a trip east at some point to Melbourne and definitely win something black type over there.
So if you had to choose one horse, Clairvoyance or Miss Kentucky, which way would you go, Pete?
Look, I want to see Clairvoyance run once more, which is a little bit sitting on the fence, but there was that genuine excuse there. Miss Kentucky is obviously the horse that's completely in form at the moment. If they were racing next week, you'd have to go with her.
All right, then. Mark Roden?
Yeah, I found it's called Sword Point, who won at Rose Hill on Saturday, which some people might want to be a bit negative about, because you've got a pretty soft lead on a leader's track carrying no weight. So, you know, you might consider them all knocks, but I just love the fact that he was able to win a race leading. He'd won at Canterbury two starts back, coming from midfield. Was sort of unlucky. He'd beaten at Warwick Farm with the same racing style, and he just added another string to his bow, going straight to the front and taking charge of a race. He's only lightly raced. He's now won out to 2,000. I think he's a horse who will go through the grade.
All right, then, Jack.
I thought in race number one, Jamara, the Ma Oosters horse, I think it was pretty good from where it was in the run. They've run really, really hard early in that race, so it's a bit of a sort of stagger home, but it was nice, I thought. And then the Corson's horse, Gareth, Umgawa.
That's correct.
I'm having a crack at that. Yep. That might be wrong, but Umgawa.
Behind Decent work. Rain there the other day.
Yeah, who sat on the speed. This horse was worse than midfield. I think it's going to win third up. Umgawa.
0416 90 50 52 if you've got a question for the Mailbag team. And there's a few flowing in already. So that's 0416 90 50 52. We'll start with our staking plans. And Jack, we're heading to Sandown on a Wednesday afternoon.
I don't want to fence it. I really do, Gareth. But I can't find a bet at this early stage, right? The rail's in the true. We're back on the lakeside. It doesn't mean it's not going to be mad leaders, which is what I will say. I think you can be sort of lead or midfield. Still don't want to be last in the back third. So race one, I kind of like Her Empire, but don't know where it's going to get to in the run. Second up, Fred Rides. Race two, Her Empire. Race two, Jay Carr Rides Miss Middle Park, right? I want to back it, but I think it might sort of last, so I'm going to sit out. The other two I sort of like in the early stages. I can't have a bet yet. I apologise.
Okay. So I don't know what we're getting out of that then, Jack. So you like Miss Middle Park.
If you need to have a bet.
Yeah, those are the two horses, Her Empire and Miss Middle Park.
At reasonable prices. You could even go each way. They're going to hit the line hard. I just think they might be a little bit too far back in the run.
All right, then. Have you got a little bit more confidence that means you get Newcastle, Mark Roden?
Yeah, well, more than zero confidence. Yeah, not good. I'm sticking to my keep it simple strategy. Just one bet. We'll have the whole 200 bank on race five, number nine, Confessed, mare trained by Chris Lee. Following exactly the same template as it did last preparation. It had race at Tamworth last time, hit the line really well, then was brought to the big attack at Newcastle for a second up win. They've done very similar this prep, closed up really nicely at Gosford. First up, picking up at Newcastle on the bigger track. I think this race is set up for it. 3-10 on the tab is a good price. I think the four, Don't Tell Monica, is the main danger. Then the race falls away. So I think 3-10 is not a bad price.
And what about at Belmont there, Pete?
It's pretty hard to get excited about this week, Gareth. I think the minimum temperature is going to be 39 degrees until Sunday, and then we get respite when it drops back to 36.
Okay.
Not only that, but this Thursday, we see the return of the Pinjarra Scarp Site track, which we've only seen one meeting at so far. That was about 7 or 8 months ago, and the track was deemed unsafe for racing after that. So,
okay.
Completely mad week, let alone no Chris Barnum or Pike, as I said. So, oh, look, we're really fishing for angles here. Race one, Rommel's Journey, I think is going to be the best on the card. I'd really want about $2.80 to be playing, but I'm not sure I'll get even that. I'm just hoping he goes straight to the front. He's got a wide draw. Maybe I'll get slightly more of a price because of that. But if Brad Parnham takes it to the lead, I think it's going to be a nightmare to run down. That's race one at Belmont Park. It'll probably be about 6:30 at night your time. So once you're halfway through the Marinara or something like that, just crack on Sky Racing and watch Rommel's Journey hang on for a nose win and we'll be happy.
WA Racing is getting later and later. Like the first race wasn't until about 6:30 there the other day. So...
Yeah, it is stinking over here at the moment.
Okay.
It is magnificent if you like the heat, but if you don't, you're probably spending most of your time in a cave.
Do you think the borders will open up on February 5, Pete? Are you ever going to come back to the eastern states?
Yeah, inevitably. I think they will open, Gareth. I think there's now enough cases over here. I think it was the first case in Margaret River the other day, which that means it's basically all over. If you want to go down south on a holiday, you all of a sudden have to wear a mask. That's a big no-no for a lot of people over here. So, no, I think they will open. That's the way we go. It's only a couple of weeks.
Now, there's a few SMSs coming through. What about someone like Ethan Brown, Jack? Could go to Perth to ride, has talent but doesn't have to ride every day.
He'd dominate. Who would dominate over there?
Ethan Brown. Pete, do you agree?
Yeah, good, strong rider. I think that's probably one of the key things over here is that, you know, a lot of the jockeys can get to those stages where they do start fatiguing. They're not taking full books of rides. If you've got a strong rider over there who can really put the work and the effort in behind the scenes, I think that's probably the key. You've got to make friends with the right trainers and be willing to actually put the effort in. It's, for sure.
Question for Pistol. Could we see the resurrection of the Pontiff make PJ Harvey great again? It's Juppy from Bendigo.
Juppy, I love the Pont more than most. And look, probably the one query is he does often fall off the radar for a couple of months at a time. So, look, there's no reason why he couldn't all of a sudden go on a hot streak, but will he be able to maintain it?
He is a different cat. He is a different cat, PJ Harvey. Like, when I was over there in the West, he would turn up and then he would just go home. He'd go, oh, I can't be bothered today, and just walk out.
He's the jockey equivalent of me, Gareth.
He is, isn't he? He's just a, like... He's a fascinating character. G'day, Paul. He just walks straight past you. Imagine if, like, Tab Radio or Ra or whatever they were paying Pikey. It was a lot of money, they tell me. $150,000 or something like that. How much would they have to pay Paul Harvey to get anything out of him?
Ooh, I'm not even sure, Gareth. That'd be up into, yeah, whatever your pay grade was.
$50,000. Jack, what did you think of 110% it was? Jack, what did you think of English? I had to work 15,000 jobs just to survive. Jack, what did you think of English Riviera on Saturday going forward? That's from Chris from Traralgon.
Well, that was a nice effort. I think it was probably a win next start. You'd probably get a little bit better price.
Yeah,
so it was sort of there to be beat, wasn't it, in the final sort of stages. Did a lot of work. They've got a huge tempo. I'd be cautious backing it up within 2 weeks. But they've got a really, really hard tempo there, first ever start.
Mark, this is a question from you for you. Going forward towards the Golden Slipper, would you prefer to be with Coolangatta or Russian Conquest? That's from Tom.
Well, I wouldn't mind either, to be honest. I think Coolangatta was ridden very confidently and aggressively. I mean, it was a great ride and a winning ride, obviously. But J-Mac rode it like she was the best horse in the race and still got the job done. The other one's still got upside to come, no doubt. But look, Coolangatta put the riding on the wall at Randwick back in October. I said last week I was a bit worried about that sort of flatter run first up in Brisbane. But, she's got a few tricks, Coolangatta. I think you can do anything with her. I think she is, the one to beat.
Jack, who's the best rider in Melbourne at the moment? It's from David.
J-Car, middle draw, going to settle on the speed. Ollie, best middle draw, going to settle midfield or worse.
Horses for courses.
John McNeil, middle to inside draw.
Okay, who's the best leader then?
El Meach.
Hey Jack, I really like a horse in race number 7 there at Sandown tomorrow. It's currently at $4.20, Victory Bay, for Peter Moody and Jamie Carr. I think it's the best bet of the day. Your thoughts?
It's worried, sort of like, why is it 4 weeks between runs and staying at 400 metres? But I agree there's a fair bit to like about the horse at the same time.
Peter Moody's on fire at the moment.
Yeah, yes, I know.
I like the performances of Ben and JD Hayes of late. I think they've kicked plenty of goals in their first season under pressure.
Under a lot of scrutiny, weren't they? And they have trained a few winners. They look like they were pretty busy at the sales too. So this will be another big year for them. It's amazing how hard not just them but all those people. Like they do not stop. And as you know, Gareth, off the track they're even probably more maniacs. So full credit to them for sustaining that effort.
Did you work out
all the time? And even yourself.
Did you enjoy the sales last week? Did it surprise you in any way how much money was going about? Do you like that side of the racing game, or would you just prefer to punt?
I think that there's such an alignment correlation between how we are successful at gambling to buying and racing horses that it's just stupid not to try and do it. So we're going to do it. I prefer if it was 10 degrees colder and half as humid. And I prefer, obviously, if there's a little bit less pressure to buy horses. We tried to buy a bunch of them. You know,
there is other sales.
Just flew straight past us.
There is other sales, Jack.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be at them all.
Yep.
With you. How on many, RSN Central. How coming many, to you live from the Riverside Stables.
How many do you want to buy?
Maybe 10 this season, like after Adelaide.
Mark, do you agree with their strategy or not? Are you a little bit concerned?
No, I'm happy to put myself in the hands of Jack and Shane in particular. I thought I was up there too for four days.
Okay.
The weekend, very impressed with how much work they were putting in. Seeing it up close, they were really doing their homework. And yeah, it would have been nice to get more than two, I suppose, but I think it was a really good result.
Gareth, can you ask your WA expert, his name's Pete, how B. Rewilla is getting on over there? That's from Roger from Essendon.
Yeah, he's going really well,
better
Roger.
Better today with the news that Pike's gone.
Absolutely. Look, you put him on the right horse, especially those horses drawn wide. I think he's one of the better jockeys drawn wide on a horse and just take his time to get towards the front. I think he's far more adept, and he's just got the experience as well when it comes to those sort of manoeuvres early in a race. He's done very well since coming across, and I think he'll find a few more winners this season.
Dicko, how do you feel about betting in rapid racing at Flemington?
Can't wait. It's just another opportunity to bet on the probably the world's greatest surface.
100%. Straight racing, what I like, can't
look,
quite...
Look at what we dealt with on Saturday, Gareth.
Yeah. But they've got to get...
Nice track at Gold Coast where they went real fast and there was really good, great races. Then we went to Flemington where it was really fair and you could bet. And then Rose Hill was just like a laney on pace. It was really disappointing.
At Rose Hill, yeah. But...
Yeah.
The rapid racing, they just got to get their jockeys right. Like, you got you can't have country jockeys competing for the city team. It doesn't make sense. The country boys are country boys.
That's fair. Yep. I was purely talking about the opportunity to bet on races at Flemington, which I love. I won't be listening or understanding what they're trying to do in regard to the country versus the city. I was there maybe with Pistol for the first ever one, and we heard Kevin Sheedy give his speech, and it was...
Lucky you weren't trying to inspire the jockeys. do you have a winner for us today? Any winners today? There's a big program at Y on Mark.
I'm sorry.
I only got in at 11 o'clock last night, so I've only had a brief look at Wyong. But there was one in race 5, I think it was, called the Kung Fu Mushu. T. Berry's riding it, I think.
Yep.
That's it. Race 5, number 5, Kung Fu Mushu. First up off a bit of a break, beat a horse called Paul Valor before going to that break. Has run twice in town since, so that was pretty good form for those like this.
All right, race 5, number 5 at Wyong. Shane Curlier does a really good job representing the mailbag up there in Queensland, but he was walking around the complexes there in Queensland. He's been pretty vocal, and he's been up and about trying to really promote his brand these days on his social media platforms, but he surprised me with the way that he looked in the yard. Like, I thought he was actually exercising. Like, got out of hand. And I'm not trying to be too judgmental on anyone, but I'm just a little bit worried about his health.
If you saw how much work he put in at home, homework-wise, and then socially away from the complex, and then how many horses he actually walked to and inspected, he just admire his work rate even more. His effort up there was second to none, and we're very grateful to have him on our team.
And he only got 2.
Yeah?
Yep.
Can't force it, Gareth. Rule number 1.
100%. Thank you, Dicko. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Mark. Looking forward to catching up with you next week. Is it true that, Mark, you're leaving... is it true that you're putting your hand up to be Williams... Oh, you can't because you're based... I know you're based in Melbourne, Williams... Yeah. Jockey manager for New South Wales.
No truth.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Paul Joyce, all the media identities are getting into it now. Joyce is doing Tommy Berry and you can do W. Pike.
Okay, I'll take that under advisement. I'll give it some thought.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for that. Thanks, lads. William Pike. I tried to get Pikey on the show. He didn't reply,